that music, that means it's time to break open God's Word in the Psalms, the book of sung praises, the Hebrew hymnal, if you will. These are prayers that we hear, scriptures that we hear at every single Mass, weekday, Sunday, feast day, holy day. The Psalms are always a part of it, an important part of our liturgical expression. And so in this segment, the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth, we take a look at the Psalms, you know, a whole psalm or part of a psalm, and connect it to our everyday lived experience. With the hope is that when you go to Mass and you hear the Psalms, that you engage them more deeply so God can work ever more deeply and lovingly in your own heart. Right, that's the goal. And this is its own, this segment of Beacon of Truth, the Soulful Psalms, is its own podcast. You can go to Podcast Central at EWTN.com, or as I do, the EWTN app, or to, you know, Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, and download it as its own podcast. You can hear these reflections every single day. All right, well, today we're going to take a look at the Lamed strophes of Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest of all of the Psalms. It has a total of 160 verses. 160 verses. Now, Psalm 119 is an extended reflection and meditation on God's law. Okay? And we're going to take a look at verses 89 to 96. So Psalm 118 is broken up into 21 sections, each one representing a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So we're going to look at the Lamed, which is the 12th letter of the Jewish alphabet, Lamed. And we're going to take a look at the four strophes that are part of this section of Psalm 119. So if you're following along in your Bible, we're going to look at Psalm 119, verses 89 to 96. Again, this one, the only prescript for these psalms are just the letter. So this one says Lamed, right? And then Mem, Nun, Samech, Chayin, Pei, Sade, Kof, Resh, right? And all the rest of the letters as well. So this one starts off, "Forever is your word, O Lord, standing firm in the heavens." Right? Oh, look, okay, look, let's just stop right there. First of all, it says, "Forever is your word, O Lord, standing firm in the heavens." So obviously here, the psalmist, when he's writing this, he's talking about God's word, right? God's promise, God's hope of salvation stands firm forever. But for us now, looking back at this psalm, Christologically, right, through the eyes of our faith in Jesus Christ, "Forever is your word." That word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth." All right, so here we can see this verse 89, as Christ, "Forever is your word," Jesus Christ, our Savior, standing firm in the heavens. Because we pray in the creed, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, right? So he's eternally at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us with his heavenly Father in the Holy Spirit, right? And because remember how it works, the Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moves us closer to Christ. Christ then draws us into the heart of his Father, who gives us more of the Spirit, who leads us closer to Jesus, who moves us closer to the Father. And that's really our faith journey, our faith life, deepening intimacy with the Lord, right? And so that is firm and that is lasting forever. And that's what we hope to be, in heaven with the Lord, standing firm with him forever. And it continues, "From age to age is your truth, like the earth it stands firm," right? So from age to age is your truth, not the truth of the culture, not the truth of society, not the truth of a transient culture of moral relativism, but the truth of God. Again, not only is the word, he is the way, John 14:6, the way, the truth, and the life. So in the first two verses here, 89 and 90 of Psalm 119, we can see Christ clearly. If we look at the Psalms with the putting on the mind of Christ, as St. Paul says, we can see Christ here in the Word of God. And it continues in verse 91. Your judgments endure to this day, for all things are your servants. So the judgments of God are not just for a particular time. They're not for a particular people. They are for everyone. The judgments of God is for everyone, right? Remember, Jesus says, God looks on the clean and the unclean. He looks upon the birds of the air, beasts of the field. He looks upon everything. He looks upon everyone with the eyes of faith. And he sustains them in his love, right? So his judgments endure to this very day and for all days to come. For all things are his servants, right? God has given us authority over his creation. We can't become arrogant. So we can't think, well, God has given us this authority over creation, over his earth. We have to be good stewards of creation. We have to be good stewards of the resources that he has given us, right? So that we can continue to serve him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So serve him by taking care of what he's given us, what he's entrusted to us, the earth, but also his Holy Spirit and his grace. We have to be caretakers to make sure that we're doing what Jesus says, love God, the two great commandments, love God and love your neighbor as yourself, right? And he says, had your law not been my delight, I would have died in my affliction. Wow, that's powerful. So had God's law not been on our hearts, had God's law had not been the focus of our mind and our hearts, had we not been meditating on the power of God's law working in us, that natural moral law, we can come to know God by reason alone. You know, the law has that God has placed in all of our hearts, where we have that fundamental and basic relationship with God, where we can come to know him and his love just by extending ourselves, right? Extending ourselves out into the world and showing people the face, the hands, and the heart of Christ. It's not a faith that we keep to ourselves. It's something that we extend to others. So the basic principle is do good and avoid evil, right? And that's what Christ calls us to do every single day.
Well, and I like it too, because as that transformation is taking place, and you do see others differently, or you see them through the eyes of Christ, you realize they don't have an agenda. They're just trying to find the same healing and oneness with God that you are, whether they know they need that yet or not. But it's through our actions. It's through our demeanor. I mean, I love it when people go, man, there's something different about you. Like if they knew me from back in the day, you know, then they can see the difference now, because I hope by now it's obvious. But I think that's the great thing, is when people, you don't even have to say anything. They could just tell it in your presence, in your demeanor, in your words, that there's something that's changed.
Yeah. You know, during the We Will Serve the Lord tour with the Australian speakers, Charbel Raich was sharing his testimony, how Islam led me back to Christ. And he was talking about when he encountered his Muslim friends after he rediscovered his Catholic faith, because God revealed himself to Charbel in the Shroud of Turin image in a tabernacle. He didn't know what it was. He never saw that image before in his life.
Right.
It was only later that he saw it was the Shroud of Turin. And how after that encounter, learning his faith, he changed. And people would come to him and say, his Muslim friends, you've changed. You never used to be like this before. What happened?
Mm.
Right? Because people will notice.
Yeah.
And they will say, wait a minute. And even some people may say, you know, I want what he has.
Yes.
You know, because I see how joyful he is. I see how at peace he is. You know, and that's that desire.
Well, and that people want. And even too, and maybe you've had some of this, of when you share parts of your story and people go, man, how did you even get through that? And we always can point to God, because even when we don't recognize it at the time, later we have a bigger picture view to go, he was with me then, I just didn't know that was him. And so that peace, or that, you know, providing of resources or support to get through a difficult time or a bad habit or whatever, you know, we see that that was him orchestrating the whole time.
Hey, amen. Love that. So the psalm continues here. I will never forget your precepts, for with them you give me life. Right? Because a lot of people say that God's law takes away our freedom, obstructs our ability to have authentic freedom. It's just the opposite. It's by following God's law and aligning our will freely with God's will that we're able to have authentic and true freedom. Right? That's where the true freedom comes from, resting in God's heart. Save me. I am yours, for I seek your precepts. That's how God will know that we are with him and that we can be identified as Christians because we are following not the law of man, but the law of God. Then finally, though the wicked lie in snare to destroy me, yet I ponder your decrees. I will not be discouraged when people are telling me not to follow you, Lord. I have seen that all perfection has an end, but your command is boundless. Amen.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.